Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Without a doubt. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks. That's terrific as well. Plenty, great selection, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Humble's Wharf. Our play-by-play call of the day. Jay Bruce makes a positive impression on the Mets.
1-1 from Eovaldi, and he lifts one to deep right center field. Back in the gap, Ellsbury, back near the wall. It's out of here! Jay Bruce's first hit as a Met is a three-run homer. That's the way to break a slump.
Gary Cohn with the call on SNY and the Mets television network as Jay Bruce homered last night. In the Mets game, big hit for Jay Bruce. Big hit for the Mets. That's our play-by-play call of the day. Let's bring in Greg Pickle now from PennLive.com and the Patriot News. Greg, welcome back. Great to have you with us. What were some of the quick takeaways from yesterday's media day for Penn State?
Yeah, you know, Steve, it was a good day, I think, for Penn State in terms of just getting things going on the practice field. I thought during the practice session, you know, there was a lot of good-looking weight gains, I think, and bad weight, you know, gotten rid of for Penn State's offensive line, for its defensive line. And really across the board, I was impressed by how a lot of guys look. You know, some of them are younger guys. You got Ryan Buchholz come to mind. John Holland comes to mind. I'm not sure they're going to be in play to get a lot of snaps or any snaps maybe this year, but those are two guys that look pretty good. And across the board, I think it was a very good offseason for Dwight Gault and his strength staff. We saw, you know, the progress that it lived for life back in July, and we certainly saw it again yesterday. The other thing that comes to mind, Steve, is, you know, I thought the biggest news of the day was Andrew Nelson going out to right tackle. You know, it seemed like he was the guy that was going to sort of anchor things on the left side, and James Franklin wouldn't go into details, but he made pretty clear that they're going to work him with the right side and try and figure out their left tackle position. So I think that's pretty big news as well. And that was maybe the biggest takeaway I had yesterday.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, that was the one that people looked at and said, well, wait a minute, okay. Because I think people felt actually good that he was at the left side, just on, you know, outside looking in, and now he's back on the right side. The two quarterbacks, McSorley and Stevens, I think one of the keys to me over the next 10 days to 2 weeks is you want to see if anything's changed since mid-April. Then after that, you go from there. What are your thoughts on the two guys?
Absolutely the same as you, Steve. I think that, you know, for Penn State, I know there's a competitive advantage to not naming their quarterback, and there's ways that they can name him internally to sort of spur the leadership part of it. But what it comes down to me is, you know, even if they don't announce the guy, I think they're going to make a decision sooner rather than later. You're absolutely right. They'll figure out over the first handful of practices whether Tommy Stevens has come any closer to closing the gap. You know, if there's signs that he's getting close, maybe they'll delay it a bit. But if not, and it's sort of where things stood coming out of spring practice, it's very difficult for me to believe that Penn State won't name its starting quarterback, at least internally. Again, it'll be ask and ask and ask over and over again of James Franklin whenever he is made available during summer practice. And of course, you know, as he's mentioned in the past, there is indeed a competitive advantage that you can't deny in terms of not naming a starting quarterback going into the Kent State game. Of course, I'm not terribly sure it's going to matter considering Kent State's picked at the bottom of most preseason polls in the MAC. So either way, you know, I think that they'll give Tommy Stevens a shot, but to me, if I have a hard time believing that McSorley won't be the guy come September 3.
Then there's when you look at the redshirt freshmen, or a couple of redshirt freshmen, people that didn't get a chance to play last year, and now the door is open for them that you think have the chance to be contributors.
Yeah, there's a couple of them. You know, obviously, when you're talking about the offensive, too, everyone's going to want to talk about Dervin Charles and Juwan Johnson, the two twin tower wide receivers. I think we'll see them on the field. You know, I had a pretty long chat with Josh Gattis yesterday, and one of the biggest takeaways from him was, and he sort of said something similar last year. You know, last year he said it was one of the deeper groups he's ever coached. I'd argue it's deeper this year, and he's going to have to find a way with Joe Moorhead, of course, and James Franklin to get as many of these guys on the field as possible. It's not going to be easy to pick, you know, who you get out there and who you don't, but they're going to have so many options at receiver when you talk about guys like Charles and Johnson joining the mix that, you know, it's going to be incredible, I think, to see what those guys are able to do. They both came in very highly touted, and I think at least one of them is going to have to make a jump this year, not because Penn State necessarily needs them to, but just because their athletic ability is going to take them there. So those are two guys I'm watching on offense. On the other side of the ball, you know, there's a couple of names to keep in mind. I think in the safety group, you have some guys to watch. And, you know, Buchholz is the guy I mentioned earlier. I'm curious to see if he's ready to take the next step. You know, he looks pretty good, but of course, you know, that just looking good is not necessarily enough to maybe get a guy on the field. And so we'll see what plays out with him. And then, of course, the big two are the linebacker spots. Everyone knows and loves Penn State's three starting linebackers, but behind them, Manny Cooper and Jake Bowen, or Jake Cooper and Manny Bowen, rather. They're not redshirt freshmen, but they were kind of thrust into the action this year. I sort of still think of them as redshirt freshmen, even though they were in on the action last year. I think of it as a, because those guys are going to take a step forward compared to where they were last year, I think, in a pretty big way. So those are two guys to keep in mind as young guys as well.
And obviously another guy, Ryan Bates, is another guy in the redshirt freshman group that I think
It's almost funny. You don't even think of him at times, Steve, as a redshirt freshman, just because you look at him and he just doesn't look like a redshirt freshman, but Bates certainly as well.
Oh, one day it was in the spring and he was standing on the side. Jack Ham looks over at me and says, "Is there any body fat there?" I said, I don't know. I said, "I've got more in my hand." So, I mean, amazing. Now, the kicking component, just having pure competition at kicker, what does that do?
I don't think you can really put in the words, you know, what that means. I think Penn State has been in a situation, you know, remember when Sam Ficken was here and he pretty much had to kick, you know, early on in his tenure here, he had to pretty much do every single kick in practice because they didn't have anybody else. He had to be the kickoff guy when they wanted to practice that. He wanted to be the field goal guy when they wanted to practice that. It's been getting progressively better in terms of having the depth to not make one guy, you know, be the guy that kicks over and over and over again. But they don't have the, you know, they don't have the competition in previous years that they have this year. You know, this is going to be between Tyler Davis, Joey Julius, I suppose. He wasn't at practice yesterday, and Alex Barbier. It's going to be a pretty good competition. You know, I thought Franklin made a good point in that not enough people talk about Tyler Davis. He did have a nice year last year, so we'll see if he has a role. And then on the punting side, you know, Blake Yoakum has a real shot to make an impact as well, and there's competition there too.
All right. It's also a time where the players now have a brand-new locker room to go with the nutrition bar and so forth. Did you get a chance to ask the players their thoughts about their new digs?
You know what, I did not, but the sense you could get just sort of watching, you know, hearing those guys interact about it. I didn't talk to anyone specifically about it, but you hear them over, you know, talk about it while you're walking around there at the facility, and obviously you saw what they put on social media. You know, I think for the current players, it's rewarding because a lot of them picked Penn State, of course, at a challenging time when they could have went anywhere, and, you know, they've been rewarded, of course, a lot of different ways at Penn State, but that's another way. There's a brand new locker room that's considered state of the art. So I think that, you know, you're not going to hear a nary a bad word about it. The nutrition bar has been raved about in the past. And for recruiting purposes, you know, it's one step closer to getting things where they would like them to be when you talk about trying to match up with the Ohio States and the Alabama and the Michigan and Michigan States of the world. You know, that's what those tools have. So you get one step closer to sort of joining that group as you continue to do upgrades. And, you know, I think it's going to pay off both on the recruiting trail and, you know, with the kids on the current team as well.
Is it when you have, I mean, because you do a lot on recruiting, Greg, is it a case where you're trying to make sure you keep up with everybody so there's no difference between others, and then that way the swing factors you can control are what you go for at that point?
Yeah, more or less, Steve. You know, I think that always someone's going to be outdoing you or, at least trying to outdo you. You know, I think that there's no question in anyone's mind that, you know, you could upgrade something this year, but somebody might come along with the money and the resources to make a better upgrade the next year. So you're just trying to get as close to an even playing field as you can. You know, I think the way Penn State's going, they're going to be pretty close to that here soon if they're not there already. Right. You know, when you talk about facilities and what they're doing with Haluba Hall and the things they're talking about doing the Beaver Stadium, you know, they're inching closer to where they'd like to be, or at least where you would assume they like to be. So once you get there, yeah, I mean, obviously there's going to be places, you know, a place like Oregon with an established tradition of money and, you know, continually building things. You know, I don't know if you're ever going to quite get that far along, but, you know, if you get close, that's just one less thing that schools can use against you, and vice versa, you can use for yourself to sort of show kids, you know, what you're committed to as a football program.
There are a couple of players that are now into this program, deeply into the program, that you think it's an important year for them to take it to another level, and who would that be?
Well, I think there's a couple guys that jump out at me. You know, when you talk about the offensive line, I'll really be curious to see if any of those guys back in 2014 class, when James Franklin first arrived, are ready to make a step forward. We're talking about the guys like Chance Sorrell, Brandon Brosnan, Chaz Wright. You know, I'm really curious to see if those guys are ready to take a step forward. And on the other side of the ball, my pick would be Antoine White and Parker Coffin. You know, both of those guys have very high ceilings, but for different reasons, mostly just what Penn State had on its roster, they haven't been able to really get on the field. So I'll be curious to see if those guys, all with bigger opportunities, are able to step up this year. I think it's a big year for all of them.
Kevin Givens hasn't played a down here yet. He did well in the spring in a new position adjustment, and certainly a lot of people had a chance to see him in the blue-white game. Yesterday, I think they wanted to get the word out, in so many words, that, hey, look, there's a long way to go here. He hasn't played a game yet. What's your thought on that and him?
I think Givens has a high ceiling, and I think the message Penn State sort of sent yesterday was absolutely right. You know, I think a lot of people, obviously what we were able to see is the media in spring practice saw him do some nice things that, you know, we heard from different players and coaches that he was sort of eye-popping to everyone in the spring, and, you know, we saw him in the blue-white game where he was very good. So I think that got a lot of people really excited for a guy that's still developing. He's still adding weight and still learning the finer parts of defensive tackle. So I think he has a tremendous ceiling, and he's going to be a good player for Penn State one day, but I couldn't argue at all with what was said yesterday, sort of reeling things back in and dialing back the expectations so he can continue to develop and grow.
How do you handle a media day? What was the game plan for you yesterday, and did it come to fruition the way you thought it would?
For the most part, yeah. You know, the focus for us, Steve, is really to get the information from James Franklin and his coordinators out as quickly as possible, and sort of focusing on the highlights of what they have to say, and then coming back later and diving deeper into a few things they had to say that maybe is of most importance to the team or interesting to the fans. So, you know, we start with that in the morning, move on in the afternoon to the players. A lot of that stuff gets held for down the road. You know, you might write some, one or two things off of that, but for the most part, you're looking for things that lead into longer stories about the season from the players, and then you go watch practice and the day's over. So it's a long day, but it's broken up into three pretty easy parts, and some of it's immediate and some of it's held on to for down the road.
Oh, exactly. I mean, exactly. And, you know, a lot of this is, for example, I know I'll have the Inside Penn State Athletics shows coming up, but they're going to start on the 22nd. So believe me, I was doing stuff yesterday with the idea that I had several shows to fill before then we have press conferences. I mean, you have to think ahead in this thing. If you don't, then you're going to get lost.
Yeah, you're either going to get lost or have nothing left to use. So
right, exactly.
It's certainly a game of playing ahead, especially in a day and age where, you know, schools are, and of course Penn State does plenty, but, you know, when you have the media availability like that, where you have as many kids as the program's ever going to make available at one time, you know, you really have to sort of utilize that time wisely and get as many kids and coaches as you can, because people like to read about different kids and players and coaches. You know, they want to read about, as much as they love Saquon Barkley and the quarterbacks, they don't want to read about that or listen to that on the radio every day. So, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, we have to focus on as well.
Yeah.
As you well know, is just trying to get as much variety as possible, because at the end of the day, that's what people are looking for. At least
sure.
That's what we think they're looking for. But as you well know, Steve, sometimes we never know what they're looking for, even though we think they do.
Hey, Greg, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for doing this. I know we got a hold of you on short notice, and you jumped right in. We really appreciate it.
Hey, Steve, anytime. It's good to be on with you, as always, and we'll talk to you soon.
Greg Pickle, PennLive.com, and the Patriot News. Charles Davis, next half hour from Fox Sports. We'll take a timeout. Back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Charles Davis, Fox Sports, coming up next half hour. Talk college and pro football with him. Thanks to Greg Pickle, PennLive.com, and the Patriot News for joining us. And also Jason Rollison for talking baseball with us in the 3:30 half hour. Check it out on the Steve Jones Show podcast. Phil Steele, when we get back to work on the 15th. So we'll have Phil Steele on in just 10 days. 22nd, we're at Penn Tavern. How about that? We're going to do the entire show there.
You will love it there.
Oh, I can't wait to go. Cannot wait to go. That is going to be a great night, a great event, a lot of fun. Yeah. So.
Yeah, you'll be able to meet the gentleman that'll be doing Shikellamy football here on WKOK with the Chief this fall.
I'm looking forward to meeting them and the upgrade.
Yep. Sometimes the setups are easy.
I can't believe it. So we should do a live broadcast from a Danville game. No.
You're a little busy the day after.
Exactly. Yeah, scratch that out.
Hey, it's the thought that counts.
Oh, thank goodness. That's all I had.
hard to believe they tee it up 3 weeks from tonight. Oh, man.
I know. Because a lot of schools are starting the 26th. State College, for example, is not going to start till the 2nd. I was surprised at that. But it's because of the addition of the six different divisions now for the playoff. So they moved it back a week. But I think it's perfectly fine. I think people are aching to go out and watch it anyway. You get an evening on the 26th. Yeah, I mean, say if it's a typical night like tonight. You know, maybe it's around 82 degrees. You know, maybe it dips down. Yeah, about 82 a kickoff at 7 o'clock. Yeah, by the time you get to halftime, you're about 70 degrees. No big deal. It's comfortable. People enjoy it. So I don't mind them starting earlier. What I didn't like was them going later. I mean, suddenly you're having the state high school championship game a week before Christmas. That's a little bit much, I think.
Yeah, it's a little bit much for fans, too. I mean, let's face it, you're now running into the possibility of really bad weather.
Well, and especially, too, you got a lot of kids that are multiple sport athletes, too.
Yeah, it takes away from that. The Olympics opening ceremony is tonight. It's on NBC. Let's see. What do we have here? Plenty of track and field, which is going to run the 12th through the 21st. So that will run starting a week from tonight as track. Taekwondo is the 17th to the 20th. For some odd reason, I saw nobody mark that down. Swimming is tomorrow through Saturday the 13th. Shooting is the 6th to the 14th, so that's Sunday to Sunday. Rowing is the 6th to the 13th, Sunday to Saturday. Judo is the 6th to the 12th. Gymnastics will run through the 16th. Fencing the 6th to the 14th. Diving the 7th to the 20th. Cycling 6th to the 21st. Boxing the 6th to the 21st. Beach volleyball from the 6th to the 18th. And of course, next weekend's golf. Now in golf, the top three men are out, but the top eight women in the world are all in. Lexi Thompson, Stacey Lewis, and Garina Piller are all in the top 15. They're all in. Lydia Ko's going to play. Charles Davis next half hour. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Stock up for the weekend now. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. That pickle bar is second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I know as I travel across the country, and then people will come back and they'll ask me, who are some of the guys that you meet along the way you put in the class act category? And one name that always comes to the front for me is Charles Davis. Fox Sports. Charles, thanks so much for carving out time. I know it's the first time we've had you with us, but thanks a lot for doing this.
Thanks a lot for having me. I really appreciate you having me on. I trust you're doing well and continuing to have a great time on that great Penn State beat and all the other great stuff that you do. But I appreciate you having me on.
What would Big Ten football mean to the Fox brand and to Fox Sports One, you know, once they announce this?
Oh, it means everything. It's absolutely huge, Steve, to get one of the top conferences in the country with the major media markets that they have and the interest in Big Ten football, especially as hot as it is right now. I don't think the conference could be hotter right now, and it's a big, big deal for Fox.
Yeah, no question about that. But you've been doing a lot of work between both the NFL and on the college side. What's the preparation been like for you, Charles, jumping from one where there's, you know, sometimes they'll use 60 players just on a team in a game versus one that has 45 on each side? I think we've lost Charles.
Yeah, we'll see if we can get him back on the line here. We'll call him back.
Yeah, so we'll do that. We'll call him back and back on the line here. Because obviously he's on his cell phone right now, so he's obviously in a bad cell area. Great to have him on. We're going to talk a little bit about the NFL here in a moment and then talk about college football in a moment because he jumps back and forth between them. And he's absolutely right about 2014, the second week of the season. Everyone had buried the Big Ten at that point. He talked about Virginia Tech beating Ohio State, Oregon beating Michigan State. Nebraska had a tremendous struggle that day with McNeese State. It was one after another, and at that point, the Big Ten was considered to be DOA. Yet in 2014, the Big Ten finished strong, did well in the bowl games, and then, to their credit, Ohio State then won the national championship, and since that second weekend of 2014, the Big Ten has dramatically taken off.
Okay, we got Charles back on the line for you.
All right, Charles, thanks so much. A little better cell area now.
Sorry about that, Steve. This Fisher Price phone I've got to really upgrade a little bit.
You're going to have to talk to Fox about that.
Yeah, I got to talk to myself about that. It's time to make a few upgrades, man. We're in the 21st century here.
Exactly. In college football right now, when you lock in on what you see in terms of teams moving forward in this, what are some teams that you lock in on right now that you think have a really good shot at getting to the Final Four in college football?
Well, Steve, I think right now the perennials still sit up there. You're still looking at Alabama out of the SEC. You're looking at Clemson out of the ACC with Florida State lurking right there, probably the winner of their game is where you'd put your money on the ACC having the best chance. But don't overlook North Carolina. They were very close last year to upsetting Clemson in the ACC title game, and they've got a ton of talent coming back. I think when you move over to, like, the American Athletic Conference, very hard for them to get to the playoff four, but Houston has a chance to make big-time noise again this year, and they open up with Oklahoma. And the Big 12, it's still Oklahoma if Baker Mayfield doesn't get hurt for the Sooners, their quarterback. If he plays all the way through, I think Oklahoma goes wire to wire in the Big 12, and they have a chance to get there. And out west, for the first time ever, Stanford is the preseason favorite, probably going to be in everyone's top 10 when the season begins with Christian McCaffrey. But don't overlook USC, UCLA, and the other bracket. And Washington thinks they're going to make a strong move this year, although I'm not sure I'd make them national title contenders. I think they have a chance to make some noise. So it's going to be a whole lot of fun out there. I think LSU's a team to keep an eye on. They may have as much talent as anyone in the country, and they may have as many NFL draft picks as Ohio State did last year. But then for them, it's all going to come down to Brandon Harris, their quarterback. If he can make plays with his arm and get people backed off the line of scrimmage so Fournette can run, look out. They've got a chance to be really, really good. And then in the Big Ten, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Michigan State, those are the rock stars of the Big Ten, the Eastern Division. Coming at the other side, it's always a mismatch right now, but it's a very good one in terms of Iowa, Nebraska, Wisconsin. Who can come out of there and emerge? But the rock stars are clearly in the East. Those are the coaches. Those are the programs that we talk about nationally.
You mentioned that, and what's interesting is you look at the SEC West, Alabama, Auburn, you mentioned LSU, Ole Miss has been better, Mississippi State's better, Texas A&M. In the Big Ten, that Eastern Division, Ohio State, Michigan, yeah. Michigan State, Penn State, in terms of, as you use your words, and I think it's proper, the rock stars. All right, how good is it for college football that two divisions in two conferences like that are that stacked?
You know, on the surface, your first inclination is you'd rather have more balance in your conference than have it flipped. You know what I mean? To where right. Both sides are a little more equal. But I don't think it's bad because I always equate it to the Yankees in baseball, right? The Celtics when they had their dynasty going in basketball or the Lakers, whoever it was that was running things. Dynasties are good for sports. People think that they're bad. I'll take the opposite opinion. Dynasties are good. It creates incredible attention. You talk about who can beat them. Heck, we were having a debate last year about UConn's women's basketball team. Were they good or bad for the sport? And I was on the floor listening to people talk about how they were bad for the sport. I said, bad? they're the reason that they talk about women's basketball.
Yep.
So don't give me that. Give me a kingpin that we're all shooting at. And my natural thing I always fall back on, I always default to, Steve, is you remember when the Red Sox won their first World Series? Yep. You know, during, was it 2004, whatever it was? When they won that one, the reason it was such a big deal was, one, it was the Red Sox. We know that. But I thought an even bigger deal was they came from down 0-3 against the Yankees in the American League Championship Series and beat them. Because you know as well as I do, in baseball, if Boston wins that World Series and they don't play the Yankees in the playoffs, the Yankee fans will forever tell them, well, you never beat us.
Yeah.
And that's why it was a big deal. That's why I think these dynasties and these stacked divisions don't hurt college football overall. For a conference, it's a tough one because they may beat each other up and then someone from the other side could steal a win in the conference championship game. Witness Iowa last year, or how close they came against Michigan State. So that's where your worry comes in.
Well, I'm in complete agreement with you because people want to see big games. Brand names mean something, and also the team that you talk about, that is the team on the verge of a dynasty, also plays the role of villain to many across the way, and that draws viewers.
No doubt about it. You and I are in total agreement on that. You have to have teams that, let's look, Ohio State's fan base is as good as there is in the country. You and I both know that. Anyone can hear our voices knows that. But when they come rolling to town, are they not Darth Vader?
No doubt.
And that is real cool when you beat Darth Vader. Okay? So you're right. Having those villains, Jim Harbaugh has no problem being Jim Harbaugh and making Michigan that type of a team again. And to be frank with you, the Big Ten is better when Michigan is better. The Big Ten is better when Penn State is better. The Big Ten is better when Michigan State is doing what they're doing under Mark D'Antonio. And that's why I call them the rock stars, because those four coaches are recognizable in every living room in America. They come on screen. They don't need what, you know, on TV we call it a font, right, when they get identified. Yeah. They don't need a font. You know James Franklin when he comes on screen. You know Mark D'Antonio. You know Urban Meyer. You know Jim Harbaugh. You might not know Mike Riley the same way at Nebraska. You might not know Kirk Ferentz the same way at Iowa, although he's been around long enough most people should. You know what I'm saying? So that's why it's a big deal to have those types of teams. I think you and I are in lockstep on that.
Yeah, I mean, and you need that. And the same thing in the NFL. For all the complaints about the Patriots, they'll draw more people in because they are going to play the role of Darth Vader. And let's face it, Obi-Wan Kenobi is going to be Tom Brady.
No doubt about it. And when you beat them, the sense of accomplishment is even better. You know, it means a whole heck of a lot. I think that's one reason that it hurt Seattle so much when they lost that Super Bowl. It wasn't just the way that they lost it, you know, arguably should have run the ball Marshawn Lynch. We understand that. But they had the Patriots on the ropes. And I think a lot of people around the league were like, you had them. You had the Patriots. And you didn't get it done. It was a killer for them. Remember the Giants winning that Super Bowl when the Patriots were undefeated for the entire season. How incredible was that? Never should have happened, probably. Remember the Patriots beat them in the regular season.
Yep.
The Giants found a way to win, and they'll forever go down as one of the, you know, the great Super Bowl champions, even though their overall record doesn't justify that. I think the Giants won 9 games, maybe regular season.
Yep.
So it just tells you get hot during the right time, you get your injuries right, but you're exactly right overall. Beating those teams was a big deal. The Packers in the 60s, the Steelers and the Cowboys in the 70s, right? You go on to the 80s, probably the 49ers would be that team, although the Bears of 85 will always be revered, you know, and right on down the line. So those are the ones we all shoot for, and those are the ones you circle on your deal. And I will tell you this, the Packers, because of their overall history and being good for the last 20 to 30 years, finally, because they went through a really bad dry spell when I was a kid, and I know this, I'm a Packers fan.
Yep.
But Bill Belichick told me last year that going to Lambeau is still a huge deal in the NFL. And in fact, he said his whole week when they had to go, where he gave them a Packers history lesson to try and take the stars out of their eyes before they ever got to Green Bay. He thought it was that important, even on the pro level.
That is quite a story, because I know, like, you've been to Lambeau, I've been there,
I still remember it. I have pictures to prove it. It's special for any of us to go there. Certain places you go where it's special to go to. In the NFL right now, okay, I asked you about the college list. In the NFL, yeah. What's your current list right now of must-watch teams that early on, if they set the tone, they could be there at the end?
Start in the NFC and you go right back to Carolina. That year was spectacular. Will they slip a little this year? Yeah, but they could slip and still be 13-3. If you want to call that slipping,
that's amazing. Good. Yes.
They have that type of a team. They have a quarterback coming into his prime. You get the idea. Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers caught as much grief as any great quarterback I've seen in recent years, where people talk about what a bad year he had. Go back and check the numbers and ask if you want your quarterback to have that kind of a year. So I think that they're there. Minnesota feels like they're right on the verge, and they have to figure out if they're going to get it done with Adrian Peterson or not, because he's hit 30. And you know the odometer turns over on running backs at that age, although the guy I call Wolverine could very well dispel that for us for a while. But they need Bridgewater to play better. I think that in the AFC, it's still New England. Even though Brady's going to miss the first four, I don't think many of us expect them to go 0-4 to start the season. 3-1 wouldn't shock us, and 4-0 wouldn't shock us if under Jimmy Garoppolo and Belichick and crew. I think you start there. Houston got to the playoffs last year. They expect to be better, but it's all going to depend on Brock Osweiler. I think Kansas City's almost a sleeper team. Remember the streak they had last year?
Yep.
And that was without Jamal Charles. And many people are just looking at Oakland and saying, hey, it's time for Oakland to get back into the playoffs, and they have an opportunity to do that. So those are some just off the top of my head. I'm just kind of picking off. There are other teams that will be factors that will be vital as we go along.
How about the Steelers?
But it's going to be fun to watch. Well, the Steelers always. I mean, anytime you talk about the Steelers, you're always going to discuss that. And last year was a year where, frankly, they got to the playoffs in a lot of ways they shouldn't have. Right. But they're not doing it the old Steeler way where the defense leads. They're doing it where Big Ben and the offense are leading, because they are hard to slow down on offense, and they still need some help in the secondary. They're working on that.
An absolute pleasure. Anytime I've crossed paths with you, it's always been a great experience, and I appreciate the fact you carved out some time for us today. Charles, thank you very much.
Steve, thanks for having me on. Greatly appreciate it. Please tell Jeff Nelson over at Penn State and all the rest of the great crew there, I said hello, and I hope I can get back to doing some Big Ten football in the not-too-distant future, because it's always a blast.
Well, we can't wait to have you here. Thanks so much.
Thank you. You be good. Talk to you soon.
Charles Davis, Fox Sports. Knowledgeable and just really a great guy to be around and be with. We will come back, wrap up the week in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, so we're going to take the next week off. I figured after 53 weeks in a row, I figured we could take one. And when we come back, Phil Steele, his publication is, as far as I'm concerned, the publication in college football. And we'll have Phil Steele when we come back. And Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, is going to join us on the 17th, on that Wednesday. So Phil Steele on Monday, Tony Knopp on Wednesday. So we're already a leg up on when we get back. Not bad. I know you're tweeting as we speak.
I have a feeling, you'll be at the beach next week. I'm going to be spending some time in Pittsburgh. Tuesday, I'm going to be at Steelers training camp. Going to check that out. Looking forward to that. My first time out to St. Vincent in about 10 years. So yeah. I have a feeling we'll be following up some emails and locking up some future guests as we charge toward the middle of August.
And before the end of the month, by pure coercion, Jack Ham will join us.
Pull some strings there.
I'll handle that one.
I know.
I'll handle that one. But we're not going to have him on until after we go to a scrimmage. Okay?
Yeah.
So I think he and I are going to the scrimmage on the 20th. So I think after that, I think it'll be a good time.
In between that and the Western PA golf outing you've got planned for the end of the month.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. My teammate is Mike Wagner.
Outstanding.
He better be. because if he's sitting there and he's thinking to himself, I wonder if Steve, how good Steve is. I don't know. The pressure will be on at Chartiers Valley that day. Ham and Moeller are almost an unbeatable team. So we're going to come up with some electronic golf balls that with magnets in it that head towards do whatever we can. But we'll have a good time. There's there'll be dinner at Mr. Ham's house, and then we have the Duquesne Club the next day. So it should be quite the weekend. And it's right about the time my grandsons do. So it's my son Mike's birthday was today, so I sent him a text wishing him happy birthday. And I sent him another text. I said, by the way, tell my grandson I love him. No offense, but people say, do you feel old being a grandfather? I love being a grandfather. Are you kidding me? It's the greatest gig going. You know, something smells a little bit, you just hand them back. You go, you wanted them. I'm not doing that part anymore. That part's out.
That's kind of how we'll feel next week. We're actually taking our nephew out to Pittsburgh. So it'll be our
good.
Yeah. So that's kind of the attitude we'll feel when we get back home Thursday night. We'll shuffle him back to mom and dad.
There you go.
They get a break two out of the deal, so they got nothing to complain about.
Exactly right. Hey, today's show has been brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection anywhere. Soft drinks, snacks, wine coolers, water. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We'll talk to you in a week, and we can't wait to see you at Penn Tavern on the 22nd with our live show. All coming up. Sean, have a great one. Be safe, my good friend.
Same to you, sir. Looking forward to having you back. Looking forward to that as we move toward football season.
Phil Steele on Monday the 15th. Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, on Wednesday the 17th. Can't wait to talk to you. Be safe, everyone.
Your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunbury.